Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. My name is...
Blair.
Thank you. Paul Blair. And this is... Fisher.
Oh, D.L.
Dan Fisher.
As in Moody.
Yeah, D.L. Moody Fisher. That's exactly
Dan
right.
Dan L. Fisher.
we attempt to... I'm not sure really what we're here for, but
we've got a great church
up here in Edmond, and they are shepherded by the two of us. You know, they're in a whole lot of trouble.
They're in a mess.
That's exactly right. And we come on every week to talk to you, trying to bring some biblical perspective to current cultural issues. You know, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah,
quite frankly,
right.
Everything that we deal with today, whether it be an overpowering tyrannical government or whether it be sexual immorality or even abortion, it's all been around for five plus thousand years. So
yeah.
There's great wisdom to.
Sir, you're saying that slavery didn't begin in the 1800s
didn't
in North America?
Didn't begin in 1619. That's exactly right. Seems to me like I remember a guy in Genesis that was beaten up by his 11 brothers and sold to some Midianite. By the way, that would have been Middle Eastern slave traders. Seems to me like I read a book called Exodus. Talked
really?
About a certain race of people that were enslaved by another race of people.
By a bunch of Southerners?
Yeah, Southern
like
Confederates. No, it was Southern... It was the Southern Nile area, as a matter of fact. Yeah, that was it. It was owned by the Egyptians.
Oh.
And they were the Hebrew race
for
nearly 400 years. And, of course, Charlton Heston did a great movie about that little Exodus, you know, dividing the Red Sea and all that. So, yeah, slavery has been around for a while. There is nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new.
Well, we talked 2 weeks ago. We talked about different political systems. And we talked about everything from an oligarchy, which is
a rule of a group.
That's right.
You know, it's no longer rule of the people.
Right.
Even a monarch is an oligarchy because he has his advisors.
Round table, his advisors. That's exactly right. Versus what democracy, which is a rule of the mob, basically.
Yeah.
Democracy is 50% not what
plus.
We are. It's not what we are. We have a democratically elected representation, but we are not a democracy.
We are a republic.
It's not. We can't just vote 51-49 to go and take all the property away from everybody that makes over $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
That's violates the rule of law,
right?
Which is what we are. We are a republic. We are supposed to be governed by the law.
Yeah.
We have a constitutional republic. We, the people, created a limited general government, wrote it all down, what the government can do and can't do, and we pledge to be governed by the law.
Well, and that's why the framers required for the ratification of the Constitution initially, and then for any amendments after that, three-fourths of the states have to ratify, which means it's not just 50% of the states, it's three-fourths of the states, 75%.
And it's not a living, breathing Constitution, not a living, breathing document. It's actually fixed law, and if you want to amend it, it takes great effort, but it can be amended, but with great effort.
But the amendments have to not contradict what's already there.
Right.
I mean, you could amend it and say in your new amendment, no freedom of speech. Well, that happens to violate the First Amendment.
The Bill of Rights, exactly right.
So,
well, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Last week, we got into economic systems, and we were having so much fun. What turned into one broadcast wound up becoming two.
Yeah, well,
but we talked about the free market, which is what we are supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about what we really are in just
which, and which works the best.
Absolutely. Competition. We are all competing for, if Dan has a dollar in his pocket and I need to earn some money to pay my bills, then I've got to create a way to get him to give me that dollar. I can either put a gun to his head, which is what criminals do. That's illegal. Thou shalt not steal. Or I could lobby my government to take it away from him, which is also illegal.
Or you could offer me one of your sermons for sale.
Yeah. Or I could offer him one of my sermons for sale. And if he thought one of my sermons, which is like 20 hours
not
or so of work, was worth a buck,
not a chance.
Then he'd give me the dollar and I'd give him the sermon. We'd probably negotiate that price right down to about 2 bits. And then we might have a deal. But that's the way the free market works.
No, it's exactly
and
right.
It works naturally. It governs itself. If somebody cheats somebody, boy, their reputation is going to be damaged. They're going to go out of business because nobody else is going to want to buy from them. If somebody's prices are too high, they may have a great product, but nobody can afford to buy it. If somebody has a great product, reputation gets around, and everybody wants to go buy it. And the way it works with freedom, when we are rewarded for our effort, because we live in a free market, we can own our own stuff, we can buy, sell, trade with whom we choose to, everybody prospers.
Sure.
Here in America, everybody owns a cell phone. Everybody owns a flat-screen television. Most everybody has a car.
Yep.
Everybody is a private property owner in America.
Yeah.
And the free market works.
And, you know, we're experiencing a real example of how the free market would determine if something is successful and people want it. And if it's not, the government tries to force it, and that's solar and wind power, especially solar power. So, you know, Glenn Beck has equipped his house and his studio there in Idaho with all of this solar power, but he's admitted that the average person couldn't do that, and it's not real efficient, so you have to over-engineer and overbuild. So if electric cars were so good, everybody would want one.
Yep.
But the problem is we all have a whole lot of money invested in gasoline or diesel, and we can't just park those. And as the government is saying today, go buy an electric car. So they're trying to force us to do it, which is violating the free market.
And that's the thing. One of these days, I really believe, if we live long enough and the Lord tarries, I believe that they're going to harness solar power effectively or wind power effectively.
Or fusion, nuclear fusion.
Yeah. Well, quite frankly, natural gas is the answer right now.
Oh, it is. Of course it is.
But we're not there yet. None of these things that they have out there, all the money in these wind turbines you see and all of this stuff, they can't afford to put it. The government subsidizes it, pays for it.
In fact, when I was in the legislature in Oklahoma, we fought that because were it not for the tax dollars, which are the people's dollars, being poured into these, you wouldn't have any of these windmills because they're not efficient enough to pay for themselves, and they're too expensive to begin with.
Yep.
It's because the government stepped in, put their finger on the scales, and changed the free market into what kind of government?
We would call that a fascist system, economic system.
Now I would just ask a question. Mm-hmm. Why is it important for pastors to know about this kind of stuff? Because we're not talking much about David, or we did mention the book of Exodus, but we're not quoting Paul. Why is this important? Because a lot of people might say, well, you know, these guys, they're just talking about, you know, government styles and economics. I want to preach the gospel.
Well, you know what's funny? As you mentioned that, look in the epistles, how many times the authors of those letters to those New Testament churches dealt with handling charity or personal issues or work ethics or how you treated the government. It's amazing. The gospel begins with, for God so loved the world. Jesus died, buried, and rose again. But as a Christ follower, I'm supposed to follow Christ in every area of my life. And by the way, what was the simplicity of the gospel that Jesus said? Here, let me sum it all up for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. One of the things about these economic systems is if you truly love your neighbor, then you're going to hate communism.
That's exactly right.
You're going to hate socialism. You're going to hate fascism because it's these corrupt systems that enrich the politicians and impoverish the people. Now, think about this. If we were dependent, we saw last year, remember that big freeze that came through?
Oh, sure.
Here? Yeah. How many people died in Texas because the windmills froze up? You know what? If we'd had coal plants operate, and we've got clean
coal. Or natural gas.
Or natural gas, which we've got hundreds of years of natural
or
gas.
Or nuclear,
which is safe and incredible. That's exactly right. We could, quite frankly, if we really wanted to rescue the impoverished nations in Central Africa and Central America, we could by promoting or freedom, the gospel and freedom, like what happened in South Korea after the Korean War.
Sure.
North Korea, you had atheism and communism, and they are still destitute to this day.
That's right.
South Korea, we took the gospel
and
exported the free market. And look at them.
There are many versions of the United States of America.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So if we really cared about people, then we would care about these economic principles.
So if someone said, well, I just want to preach the teachings of Jesus. Did Jesus ever teach on private property ownership or employee-employer relationship?
Absolutely. But let me start with an even simpler with this. The words of Jesus aren't just in the red. If Jesus is the Dabar, if Jesus is the Memra, if Jesus is the Logos, if Jesus is the Word, then Jesus' message began in maybe Genesis 1:1.
Oh, you're one of those Old Testament
scholars. Oh, yeah.
You actually believe that is God's Word?
You got to go to a good New Testament church to realize that God was wrong in the Old Testament, then came to his senses, repented, and got saved about John 3. And now we have this new God that carries a little sheep in his arms and pats him on the head and says, I just love everybody.
I just love everybody. That's exactly. In fact, most modern Christians have Christianity on amnesia because it doesn't have the Old Testament. Yeah. So we don't know why the New Testament is true. You don't have the Old Testament. Yeah. That's exactly right.
You know, and think about it. You hear that our former president, Barack Obama, he's talking about, well, you all can talk about some obscure passage in Romans or in Leviticus, but I like the Sermon on the Mount. Think of the Sermon on the Mount.
Oh, it's filled with all kinds of things on private property ownership and proper response to employers.
But also think about some of the harsh messaging in there. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and most of you are on it. Narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. There are going to be very few that find it. One of these days, you're going to stand before me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, that, and the other? I'm going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting darkness. I never knew you. Oh, that I'm okay, you're okay.
Didn't quite work out.
Wait a second. Was that Jesus with the sheep in his arm? Is that that evil Old Testament God? I'm kind of confused.
They never said, as an attorney told me in Yukon years ago, never was ever controversial.
Oh, my God.
I had a school attorney when we were trying to stop this you can't pray at ball game stuff back in the early 90s. The school attorney said, Pastor Fisher, you're preaching a different Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible was never controversial.
Only
to the point he got himself crucified.
Your Honor, I'd like to call to the stand some of these men that were in the temple buying and selling and taking advantage of others when Jesus came in with a scourge and chased them all out. Might be a little bit controversial.
Oh, I thought he was handing out little stuffed animals and saying, listen, I love you guys.
And gospel
come on
tracks.
Now. Work out. Work with me here.
What was Rick Warren's old book? I forget the name of it. Anyways, he's had copies of that.
Joel Osteen,
I'm probably as well. Okay, now let's get back to fascism.
Man, this is so why we can't
about
ever get anywhere.
Free market. Yeah, it's no wonder we can't even get a 5 minute show in 20 minutes. Okay, free markets where the individuals own the property. They buy, sell, trade with whoever they wish.
Or the capital.
That's
the means of making profit.
Exactly. Socialism is where the state owns everything. That's really what North Korea is. That's what Cuba is. That's what Soviet Union was. Now, fascism is kind of a hybrid where you transition from a free market and the individual still works pretty hard because he's under the delusion that he owns his own shop. But because of agencies like the EPA, OSHA, FDA, CDC, DHS, Department of Commerce, Department of Transportation, and all of these bureaucratic agencies, they tell you where you must build your plant, how big it must be, how high the ceilings are, where the light switches have to be, what color product you can make, how large of a product you can make, when you can operate your hours, who you can sell it to, and how much you can charge for it. But other than that,
it's free.
Exactly. Other than that, you have complete control over your own business. And that's why we're tanking here.
No, exactly.
We had such a successful start, such a good foundation.
Yeah.
That we're like the heavyweight champ that's in the corner covering up, but we're taking a beating right now. Yeah. We're not going to be able to keep standing unless we come back out swinging.
Well, and you know, Paul, I think a lot of it is because pastors like us and like our Liberty Pastor guys were not taught these things growing up. Now, we may have gone to civics, when they used to teach civics, but we were never taught these things from the pulpit. And most pastors never took God's word and said, hey, guys, this is why a free market system is actually the most godly kind of economic system and why socialism or the in-between step fascism is actually a way to steal from people and is very evil.
Absolutely.
We weren't taught that. We weren't taught the connection.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's and quite frankly, Dan, I think it's because Well, I know it's because these guys go to seminary and they're intentionally taught wrong on these things.
Yeah.
Because if you're just reading the Bible from left to right, what it tells you, you know, when you get to this part in Exodus where God says, hey, for my people, you can own your own property. Make sure and put up the landmarks.
Yeah.
By the way, don't steal. Make sure you have used just weights and measures.
Yeah.
And don't covet other people's property. If you don't work hard, you shouldn't eat. You should work hard individually, so much so that you can provide for your family and also help those.
Leave the gleanings in
exactly.
the fields so that the poor can come.
This is biblical, isn't it?
Yeah, don't harvest the corner.
That's exactly right.
So this is all really God's word,
and we're suffering because we don't know it.
Well, and you and I have taught this, but just to reiterate, we have come to believe certainly since the 1950s or so, and I'm talking about Christians that the gospel is only about getting men and women from earth to heaven.
Yep.
But actually, the whole gospel is about getting heaven back into those
Absolutely.
Who are born again on earth.
Sanctification.
And living it out in front of a lost world so they can see, this is what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like.
Boy, Dan, you nailed it.
That
is
it.
We have this idea. By the way, David, how much time we have? Where have we got?
As much as we want.
We have turned Christianity into this idea that's foreign to the Hebraic thought process of following the Lord.
Yeah.
We have turned Christianity into, if I say these magic words, that I'm going to heaven and I can do whatever I want to do because I'm saved by grace through faith plus nothing, which is true.
And you've got an all-expenses-paid cruise for eternity.
Exactly.
I
can't lose my salvation, so I'm good. I'll just pray, Lord, save me. Jesus is Lord. Hold on, what is it?
Well, but it's the other way.
And then we go and steal and cheat and get on internet porn and do all this stuff in our lives. We're not good husbands. We're not good wives. We don't parent our children the way we're instructed to. We're unethical in business. There's no difference. Exactly. There's
between
no difference
and the between unsaved.
Us. And we vote like the unsaved.
Boy.
Dan, Ephesians says that we're not to have any fellowship or be party to or part of
with the wicked works of darkness. Unfruitful or wicked works of darkness,
How can you say I'm following Christ in my politics, but I'm registered and I support a party that wants to kill preborn children?
And eradicate God from anything. I mean, it's just
altogether.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So in Nazi Germany, they practiced fascism, right?
Yep.
Because
they were national fascists.
Exactly. So basically Hitler and the Nazi party would tell some factory owner, okay, you own the factory, but we're going to tell you what to make, how much to make, and when to make it.
Kind of like America, to a certain degree, they nationalize like the rail system and stuff like that.
Right.
Of course, like in America, we think we have private airlines, but really they are so controlled by the Department of Transportation, they're not really private
airlines. And they're subsidized. Too big to fail.
Exactly.
All this kind of, the banks, too big to fail.
So national socialism was what he had, or fascism. So they nationalized some of the larger things, but then everything else was controlled.
Yeah.
By the
state.
Bureaucracy.
So let me show you how this is working today.
Yep.
Right now, we've been betrayed in the U.S. Senate. 14 Republicans have signed on to this gun control bill. But here's how they're going to sell it to the states, whatever it becomes. If you don't have red flag laws, we're not going to give you the extra money. But see, if you have red flag laws, then we're going to give you extra money. That's fascism.
That is fascism. Absolutely.
I
heard the other day, correct me if I'm wrong here, but part of that is like some of the federal funding that they provide for meals in schools for children that don't have means.
No, so exactly.
We're going to withhold this money from feeding some of the children in public ed if you don't violate the Second Amendment.
Yeah, and see, here's the crazy thing. Not that I hang everything on the Supreme Court, but that actually has already been decided by the Supreme Court that it's illegal for the federal government to blackmail states and
that's
to withhold money. And this was decided during the Obamacare debates back when Obama was still in office. And the federal government was saying, well, if you states don't do Obamacare, then we're going to withhold highway funds.
Yeah.
And one of those cases went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And they said, look, you can't do that. You can't blackmail the states because they're not willing to promote your little pet project or your pet law or whatever. So fascism then is kind of where we are in America. Yeah. And I think that's why pastors need to understand this, because fascism is just the halfway step to socialism. Yeah. When then everything's taken from us. And, of course, you hear with the Great Reset, what are they saying about you won't
own by 2030, you'll own nothing.
And be?
Happy.
Yeah.
You'll like it. Own nothing and like it. You'll be happy. Don't worry about it. No, I'm pretty sure I won't. There'll probably be a few that are happy. You either say I'm happy or you'll be dead, most likely.
And so a lot of people in America, they say, well, that could never happen in America.
It's
let me give you exactly a way they can do it with guns. Maybe they will never actually come on knock on your front door to get your guns, but they'll simply coerce insurance companies to drop the insurance on your house if you own guns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you going to do if you owe on your house and the bank requires that you have insurance, but no insurance company will insure your house because you own guns? What are you going to do?
Or along the same lines, you'll be over a barrel along the same lines. So you hear all this stuff right now. There are, in fact, we got a call from Linda Stewart at Crossroads Clinic, Oklahoma City.
Sure.
They're talking about the night of rage. If Roe is reversed, that night and thereafter, they are all of these crazy lunatic, true extremist terrorist groups that are out there promising that they are going to come burn down abortion clinics and destroy abortion and churches. Now, if you don't have it, let's say you own, let's say you paid your house off.
Yeah,
let's say you said, okay, you can't make me buy insurance
because
I don't know anything.
But you need it.
But
it's
then
prudent.
They come burn your house down.
So what do you do?
You're broke.
Yeah, you have to start all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. We are in a culture war.
No, we really are.
We are there right now.
Yeah. So,
playing for keeps.
So we saw it happening in Canada when the truckers wouldn't comply with the Canadian government. They not only seized their bank accounts, but they also canceled their truck insurance.
Yep.
Well, how are you going to run a semi up and down the highway if you're not insured?
All of them are out of business now.
No, exactly right. So that's how fascism
works.
That
is tyranny. Yep. No, that's right. That's right.
No, So they don't own everything, but they put such pressure on companies, corporations, and of course, this is a whole other subject, but we have some of these oligarchs in America today through companies like BlackRock and Bill Gates and even Elon Musk, for that matter, even though he's made some pretty good moves lately. But still, you've got the same thing in America that we condemn everywhere else.
You're right. You know, we hear the word oligarchy and we think, oh, that's terrible. Would never happen here. And then we'll throw around the terms like, oh, those Russian oligarchs. Well, what is that? They're Russian billionaires that are in bed with the government.
That control everything.
Influence. Well, guess what? We have the same thing in America.
Exactly.
Just Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, these guys. We have our own oligarchs. And as you said, let me share this with you.
Okay.
BlackRock, you know, go to the website, go to our church website. You can get connections to everything from there. But, or go directly to declarationforliberty.com and you'll find information about the Great Reset. But of course, there are these super elite billionaires, political figures. It's here's what it's like. It's like a global chamber of commerce.
Yeah, it's a good part of the way
global,
to illustrate
to be a part of the global
that's
chamber
a
of
really
commerce.
Great way to
you're either a
it.
Prime minister or a president or a general or a CEO of a major corporation, and they gather together and conspire how they're going to improve the world. Of course, it's all well-meaning, of course.
The way they define an improved world.
And one of the ways they're doing things right now is not by, like in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, where you had a million soldiers with swords and shields and we're going to take you over. They just acquire trillions of dollars, buy stock in companies, put members of their group on boards, and take over the companies and control
and them. Banks.
And banks.
So they won't loan money to
people.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah.
One of the worst, there's two of them, BlackRock and Vanguard.
Yep.
In fact, I was looking today, BlackRock is amazing. A guy texted me, basically BlackRock is 70 white, woke, liberal elites who control $4.6 trillions.
Trillions?
Trillions of dollars.
Wow.
And use it to push their agenda. One quote here, and then we're probably out of time. A guy named Charlie Munger, who is Warren Buffett's business partner, of course, said this. We have, this I quote, we have a bunch of new emperors, and they're the people who vote the shares in the index funds.
Wow.
So with $4.6 trillion, that's one investment group, BlackRock. Now, what is our national, our country's GDP is like $18
trillion. Yeah.
So this one investment
one,
group
only one
controls the equivalent of about, you know, 25%. Of America's GDP.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That has a lot of influence.
No, of course it is. And so that's why 14 Republicans will cave on things like, who knows what's going on behind the scenes, the kind of pressure that's brought to bear. And our people in our pews aren't going to know this unless we teach them and bring a biblical perspective. We don't just get up and talk economics and politics.
Biblically.
We bring a biblical perspective, just like the book of Exodus and Leviticus do for the Israelites in their day.
Yep. Well, we have got to be the sons of Issachar in our time.
Yeah, we do.
So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate more pastors, trying to share with you all some biblical viewpoints on current cultural issues. So I think we're out of time.
Yeah, I'm sure we're past that. No, I'm done.
people probably were done with us about 10 minutes ago.
They probably were. They probably already turned it off 10 minutes ago. But
it is our pleasure to be able to step into your lives for a few minutes each week. We thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then,
keep preaching the truth, guys. We'll talk to you soon.